Welcome to Zikru Daf Sin Manim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Ksubas Daf Nun Tes, the fifth parak Af Al Pi. The Zikru Maseches Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, the Mishnah on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis stated regarding a husband b'makdish hamosar, his wife's surplus earnings. Rav Meir says they are hektish, and Rav Yochanan Sandra says they remain chulin. The Gemara asks when they become hektish, according to Rav Meir. And Rav and Shmuel both say Moser Lachamisa, the surplus becomes hektish after the wife's death when the husband inherits her possessions. And Rav Adabar Abba says Moser Mechaim Kadosh, the surplus becomes hektish while she's still alive. The Gemara clarifies that the case is B'malam Mazonas Ve'en Amalam Malkesav Tzrachel, where the husband's providing with food but he's not providing with the silver ma for her needs. Rav and Shmuel hold that the Rabbanan enacted her Mazonas in exchange for her Masiyadeh, her mandatory earnings, and the silver ma in exchange for her surplus earnings. Since he's not giving her the silver ma, the surplus remains hers. Rav Adabar Abba holds that the Rabbanan enacted Mazonas in exchange for her surplus earnings, and the silver ma in exchange for her Masiyadeh. Since he's giving support, the surplus belongs to him. The Gemara explains that Rav and Shmuel hold midah d'shchiach m'midah d'shchiach. Something that is common was enacted for something that is common. Both support and producing mandatory work are common. Rav Adabar Abba holds midah d'kayitz m'midah d'kayitz. Something that is fixed was enacted in exchange for something that is fixed. Both the amount required for masiyadeh and the silver ma are fixed. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Ve'el molachu she'isha osu levala. These are the tasks that a woman must do for her husband. Tochenes va'ofa u'mekabeses, she must grind the grain into flour, bake the bread, and launder the clothing. Mevashelos manikas banav metzalsos amita va'osu betzemer. She cooks, nurses her child, she makes his bed, and works with wool. If she brings one shivcha into the marriage, she does not need to grind, bake, or launder. If she brings two shivchos, she does not need to cook or nurse her child. If she brings three shivchos, she does not need to make his bed or work with wool. If she brought four in, yoshevus b'katedra, she sits in an easy chair and does nothing. Rabbi Eliezer says, afil hechinitzel mea shvachos kofulasos b'tzemer, even if she brought in 100 shivchos, he may still force her to work with wool. Shabbatal mivia lidei zima, for idleness brings to licentiousness. And pointing through the Gemara notes, our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rechia, who taught in a brisa, ein isha el yofi, ein isha el levanim. A wife is only for beauty, a wife is only for children. Tosex explains that this means that she does not grind, bake, or nurse, which negatively impact her beauty, but she must still work with wool, for she must work and give her earnings to him in exchange for support. Rabbi Chiya taught in the second brisa, Ein isha la takshite isha, a wife is only for feminine adornments. Rashi explains it's upon the husband to buy cosmetics and jewelry for her. So once again, the three points are: number one, the Mishnah on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis stated regarding a husband, b'makdish hamoser, his wife's surplus earnings, Rav Meir says they are hektish, Rav Yochanan Sandra says they remain chulin. The Gemara asks when they become hektish, according to Rav Meir, and Rav and Shmuel both say moser l'chamisa, the surplus becomes hektish after the wife's death, when the husband inherits her possessions. And Rav Adabar Abba says, Moser Mechaim Kadosh, the surplus becomes hektish while she's still alive. The Gemara clarifies that the case is B'malam Mazonas Ve'en Amalam Malkesav Tzrachel, where the husband's providing with food, but he's not providing with the silver ma for her needs. Rav and Shmuel hold that the Rabbanan enacted her Mazonas in exchange for her Masiyadeh, her mandatory earnings, and the silver ma in exchange for her surplus earnings. Since he's not giving her the silver ma, the surplus remains hers. Rav Adabar Abba holds that the Rabbanan enacted Mazonas in exchange for her surplus earnings, and the silver ma in exchange for her Masiyadeh. Since he's giving support, the surplus belongs to him. The Gemara explains that Rav and Shmuel hold midah d'shchiach m'midah d'shchiach. Something that is common was enacted for something that is common. Both support and producing mandatory work are common. Rav Adabar Abba holds midah d'kayitz m'midah d'kayitz. Something that is fixed was enacted in exchange for something that is fixed. Both the amount required for masiyadeh and the silver ma are fixed. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Ve'el molachu she'isha osu levala. These are the tasks that a woman must do for her husband. Tochenes va'ofa u'mekabeses, she must grind the grain into flour, bake the bread, and launder the clothing. Mevashelos manikas banav metzalsos amita va'osu betzemer. She cooks, nurses her child, she makes his bed, and works with wool. If she brings one shivcha into the marriage, she does not need to grind, bake, or launder. If she brings two shivchos, she does not need to cook or nurse her child. If she brings three shivchos, she does not need to make his bed or work with wool. If she brought four in, yoshevus b'katedra, she sits in an easy chair and does nothing. Rabbi Eliezer says, afil hechinitzel mea shvachos kofulasos b'tzemer, even if she brought in 100 shivchos, he may still force her to work with wool. Shabbatal mivia lidei zima, for idleness brings to licentiousness. And pointing through the Gemara notes, our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rechia, who taught in a brisa, ein isha el yofi, ein isha el levanim. A wife is only for beauty. A wife is only for children. Tosix explains that this means that she does not grind, bake, or nurse, which negatively impact her beauty, but she must still work with wool, for she must work and give her earnings to him in exchange for support. Rav Chiya taught in the second braise, Ein isha la takshite isha. A wife is only for feminine adornments. Rashi explains it's upon the husband to buy cosmetics and jewelry for her. All right, so now we get our Simmer Daf Nun test, and this Simmer was suggested to us by Binyamin Mushal from Boca Raton and by Eitan Gavran, who both suggested Nun test is a knight, such as a knight in shining armor. So here goes. After the knight's first wife's surplus earnings only became hectish after her death, he tried to find a new wife who would grind, bake, and shine his armor, but only found a princess high up in a castle who told him a wife is only for beauty. Once again, in slow motion. After the knight's first wife, knight, that must be Moran Duff, Nun Taz. After the knight's first wife's surplus earnings only became hectish after her death, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Nun Ches Amabe stated regarding a husband being Makdish Hamosa, his wife's surplus earnings. Rav Meir says they're hektish, and Rav Yochanan Asandra says they remain chuan. The Gemara asks when they become hektish, according to Rav Meir, and Rav and Shmuel both say Moser Lachamisa. The surplus becomes hektish after the wife's death, when the husband inherits her possessions, and Rav Adi Bar Ava says Mos Mechaim Kadosh. The surplus becomes hektish while she's still alive. So after the knight's first wife's surplus earnings only became hektish after her death, he tried to find a new wife who would grind, bake, and shine his armor. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists the seven malachos a wife must do for a husband, such as grind the grain into flour, bake the bread, and launder the clothing, and how she reduces her workload depending on how many shivchot she brings into the marriage. So after the knight's first wife's surplus earnings only became hektish after her death, he tried to find a new wife who would grind, bake, and shine his armor, but only found a princess high up in a castle who told him a wife is only for beauty. Which reminds us, the Gemara notes, our Mishnah is not in accordance with Bechiyu, who taught in a Braisa, Ein Isha El Yofi, Ein Isha El Banim. A wife is only for beauty, a wife is only for children. Tosis explains that this means that she doesn't grind, bake, or nurse, which negatively impact her beauty, but she must still work with wool, for she must work and give her earnings to him in exchange for support. So once again, after the knight's first wife's surplus earnings only became hektish after her death, he tried to find a new wife who would grind, bake, and shine his armor, but only found a princess high up in a castle who told him a wife is only for beauty. All right, so now it's time for Forba Bach Hazara. Daf Nun Hey. So the Simmer Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The man pulled over for a speeding. Speeding? That must be one Daf Nun Hey. Speed limit sign of 55. The man pulled over for speeding on his way to Mas Mechasya, where he intended to collect his ksubas benin dechrin from sold properties, which reminds us, it's a machlokes between the academies of Bukmedisa Mas Mechasya whether a ksubas benin dechrin can be collected from lien properties sold by the father. In Pupendisa, they say they cannot be collected, since they understand the ksubas benin dechrin as a form of inheritance, whereas Mas Mechasya, they say they can collect it, since a ksubas benin dechrin is a collection of a debt. So the man pulled over for speeding on his way to Mas Mechasya, where he intended to collect his ksubas benin dechrin from sold properties, tried to buy off the cop by telling witnesses kisvu v'chismu v'havule, which reminds us the fourth machlok is between the academies of Pumbedisa and Mas Mechasya, is regarding the following. If one said to witnesses kisvu v'chismu v'havule, write and sign a document and give it to him, which Rashi explains to mean that he's giving some land to a certain recipient, they disagree where there was no kinyan done. In Pumbedisa, they said that it's not necessary to consult with him before giving the document to the recipient, whereas those Mas Mechasya say that it is necessary for the witnesses to ask the donor if he has had a change of mind. The Gemara concludes that it is necessary to ask the donor before delivering the document to the recipient. So the man pulled over for speeding on his way to Mas Mechasya, where he intended to collect his ksubas benin dechrin from sold properties, tried to buy off the cop by telling witnesses kisvu v'chismu v'havule, writing him over the field that he received as a present from a shchimera, who also gave it to him with a kinyan, which reminds us, it was stated Matnas Shchimera, Shekasuba Kinyan, regarding a gift of a person on his deathbed, in which it was also written that the gift was given with a kinyan. Rav holds that he gave his gift with two powers, that he made his gift like the gift of a healthy person and like the gift of a Shchimera. Each has a benefit. Shmuel said he didn't know how to judge this case. Shemelo Gamro Haknosa El Bishtar V'Ein Shtar Lachermisa, for perhaps the sick person only had mind to affect the transfer to the Kinyan suitor with a star, and a Kinyan suitor with a star cannot affect the transfer after death. Daf Nun Vav. So the Simmer Daf Nun Vav is a shusher in shul going nunu. So here goes. The shusher in shul shouted nunu to the chassan, dreaming about the chibas chuppah of the first night, when he saw the kala writing a receipt for partial payment of the ksuba, and told him he can't reduce the ksuba amount since the ksuba is a daraisa. So once again, in slow motion, the shusher and shul shouted, nu, nu, shusher and shul shouting, nu, nu, that must be more on daf nun vav. The shusher and shul shouted, nu, nu, to the chasin dreaming about the chibas chuppah of the first night, which reminds us, Ravin asks, niknas ho chuppah vo nivah mahu. What is the halacha according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azari if the kala entered the chuppah, but did not have bia with the chasin? When Rabbi Elazar said that only nesuah is entitled to the sefes ksuba, is it because chibas chuppah kona, the affection that results from the chuppah, is what acquires her to a sefes for her? Or is it because chibas bia kona, it's the affection that comes from the bia that acquires the tosefes for it? The Gemara brings a proof from a braisa that states the reason for Boaz's ruling is shulkatzavla ela chibas laila harishon, because he wrote the tosefes for her only on the affection that occurs the first night. This makes sense if one says chibas chuppah kona, for that is why it said the first night, since the night they enter the chuppah is always the first night, whereas bia can be on subsequent nights. So the shusher and shul shed it, nu nu, to the chasin dreaming about the chibas chuppah of the first night, when he saw the kala writing a receipt for partial payment of the ksuba, which reminds the review that says that a woman must write a receipt instead of waiving the ksuba orally, even though he holds davar shebamamon tanai kayim. With respect to a monetary matter, a tanai stands, even if it contradicts what's written in the Torah, because he holds that a ksuba is a derabbanan. V'chamim asu chizuk divrem yosim mishal Torah. The chamim strengthened their enactments more than they did to obligations in the Torah. So the shusher and shul shouted, nu nu, to the chasin dreaming about the chibas chuppah of the first night, when he saw the kala writing receipt for partial payment of the ksuba, and told him he can't reduce the ksuba amount since the ksuba is a deraisa. Which reminds us, in the Mishnah Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, where Meir said that if one attempts to reduce the amount of the ksuba, harzo bi'ilas nus, then it's considered a bi'ilas nus. The Gemara infers that Meir's expression of kol poches, anyone who attempts to reduce, means afil b'tanai, even through a tanai, and is not successful. Meir says that a tanai regarding the ksuba doesn't stand because he holds that a ksuba is a deraisa. And kol masna al masha kasba Torah, tanai batal. If anyone makes a tanai against what's written in the Torah, the tanai is batal. Daf Nun Zayin. So the Simra Daf Nun Zayin is a nose, and we use Pinocchio. So here goes. When the young cow was buying accessories for her Pinocchio doll collection, Pinocchio, that must be on Daf Nun Zayin, nose. When the young cow who was buying accessories for her Pinocchio doll collection during the 12 months before Nesu'in, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that a Basu is given 12 months from when her husband told her to prepare for the wedding in order to prepare herself. And just as the woman is given 12 months, so too the man is given 12 months to provide for himself. The Gemara says the source for giving a cow 12 months to prepare comes from when Lavan and his mother were requesting from Eliezer that Rivka stay a year, or at least 10 months. So when the young cow who was buying accessories for her Pinocchio doll collection during the 12 months before Nesu'in was told by her father that he was delaying the chasna because he felt she wasn't ready, which reminds Rabbi Zera said, a braisa ta katana ben hi ben avia yochonu akiv. In the case of a katana, both she and her father may delay the wedding, which Rashi explains to mean that they may do so until she becomes an adult. The Gemara explains that the father is also allowed to delay the chasna because he reasons that now she doesn't know the difficulties of marriage and tomorrow she'll rebel against her husband and leave him, and she'll come back home and fall on him. Rashi explains that he'll have to support her until she becomes an adult, and then have to provide her with another set of jewelry. So when the young cow who's buying accessories for her Pinocchio doll collection during the 12 months before Nesu'in was told by her father that he was delaying the chasna because he felt she wasn't ready, she got upset she would need to wait longer before she could eat truma, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, "Hegi zman v'nisu, ochus mishalva, ochus mitruma." If the appointed time arrived and they were not married, they eat of the husband's food, and if the husband is a kohen, they may eat truma. Even though an arusa is allowed to eat truma midaraisa, the Chachamim said that she may not eat truma, but they were concerned that perhaps they'll pour a cup of truma wine for her in her father's house, and she'll give her brother and sister who are not kohanim to drink from it. Rosh Shmuel bar Yehuda said, "Mishum simpon." It's because of the possibility of an avocation, which will retroactively invalidate the kedushin. Rashi explains that he might find a blemish in her, which indicates that the kedushin was carried out with a mistaken assumption, and she'll have eaten truma unlawfully. Daf Nun Ches. So the simmer Daf Nun Ches is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. So here goes. When Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, Hakohen Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, that must be more Daf Nun Ches. When Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, HaKohen, who was giving his bas kohen arusa 50% chuen and 50% truma, which reminds us, Abai said that the machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva regarding how much truma one can feed as arusa is dealing with a bas kohen married to a kohen, but with a bas Yisrael as mukadeshes to a kohen. Everybody agrees it must be half chulin, half truma. And Rashi explains that a bas kohen knows that truma must be sold when she's tameh, but a bas Yisrael is not familiar with this. Therefore, Rabbi Tarfon would agree that she'd be given half her food from chulin. Abai also said that malchukas only applies to an arusa, but everybody agrees that an asua must have half her food from chulin. Rashi explains that arusa's father, who is a kohen, can sell the truma for her, but if for an asua, referring to a wife who eats separately from her husband, it would be immodest for her to go out to the marketplace to sell truma. So when Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, HaKohen, who was giving his bas kohen arusa 50% chulin and 50% truma, told her he had to stop giving until the chuppah because bedikas chutz loshma bedika, which reminds us, the Mishnah said regarding a husband feeding his arusa truma zomish mishona. This was the original teaching, but a basin that came after them said that a woman may not eat truma until she enters the chuppah. And the Gemara asked what the difference is between the first and latter ruling according to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, who said the first ruling was because of simpon and permitted her to eat after 12 months, and the latter ruling, which was because of simpon, that prohibits her to eat truma until chuppah. And the answer is that the difference is bedikas chutz, whether a superficial examination, which is an examination done by female relatives and not himself, is sufficient to eliminate the possibility of a defect. The original basin held bedikas chutz shma bedika, and the latter basin held bedikas chutz lo shma bedika. So when Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, a Cohen, who was giving his bas Cohen arusa 50% chulin and 50% truma, told her he had to stop giving until the chuppah because bedikas chutz lo shma bedika, she responded she'd rather not be supported from him at all and will keep her own earnings. Which reminds us, a woman may say to her husband, I will not be supported by you, and I'll not work and give you my earnings. Because when the Rabbanim are talking that a husband must support his wife, and she must work and give him her earnings, the primary purpose of the Takana was the food support of the wife. And the husband's right to her earnings is to prevent his ill will to her, that he's supporting her and not receiving her earnings in return. Therefore, since the Takana was for her benefit, she's within her rights to refuse support and keep her earnings. All right, now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf were two reasons given as to why an arusa to a kohen cannot eat truma during her 12 months of preparation? That's on daf Nun Zion. Good. Number 2. Which of the one that Abai said that the machlokas would be talking from Rekiva regarding how much truma can be fed to an arusa was specifically regarding arusa who is a bas kohen? That's on daf Nun Chas. Good. Number 3. Which daf did Rav Chissa bring a brisa that taught that a wife is only for beauty and banim? That's on daf Nun test. Good. Number 4. Which daf leave a machok is whether bedikas chutz shma bedika? That's on daf. Nun ches. Good. Number 5. Which daf leave a question whether chibas chupa kona or chibas bia kona regarding the Tosefes Ksuba? That's on daf. Nun vav. Good. Number 6. Which daf when a woman can refuse support from her husband and keep her earnings? That's on daf. Nun ches. Good. Number 7. Which daf they learn the 7 malachos that a wife must do for her husband? That's on daf. Nun test. Good. Number 8. Which daf they learn that Rebbe Meir holds that ksuba is deraisa, which is why the chasen cannot reduce the ksuba amount? That's on daf. Nun vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf they learn malachos regarding when Rebbe Meir holds that most of a wife's surplus earnings that her husband was makdish becomes hektish? That's on daf. Nun test. Good. And number 10. Which daf they learn that Tanai Ksuba, Kaksuba Dami, and a Moretus would have monies reduced weekly from her Tosefes Ksuba? That's on daf. Nun dalad. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zich wishing you a great day and great learning.